Ian Bodie's work is everywhere. This Charleston-based artist has painted murals and other works commissioned by the city. He has done works for Mountain Stage and Eclectopia. And when we spoke, he was in a downtown art store to create Valentine's Day caricatures of couples. His work is colorful, vibrant, rhythmic, and populated by figures that genuinely seem to be engaged and happy. I asked the artist about his process.
At this point, I just try to be open to things. I will just have a routine of just sitting down in the morning with my coffee. I'll listen to you guys on the radio, and then a lot of times I will just put on my music and just put it on shuffle and just be open to whatever comes down the barrel if I don't have a project I'm working on at the time. And then some kind of sentence or lyric or whatever, from an interview to anything that's in music, will stick in my head, and then I will just expand upon that and try to put it in a different context. Mm-hmm. As you can tell with a lot of the pieces around here, the title always comes first. So look, that was from a Genesis song that I was listening to at the time. But I think it's from years of developing this little style and this little structure that I can put things over and always find a way to coordinate it. I guess because a part of my process is a less is more kind of thing when I actually have to explain it. It's one of those things like trying to grab at smoke.
The next step is to record his ideas into a small sketchbook.
I have stacks of these. I used to work bigger sketchbooks, but I found these are easier to carry around. So as you can see, when I have an idea for something, right here there's some NXS, there's some Tom Petty. Sometimes when I sit in front of a blank canvas and I have an idea at all, it's great that I can just flip through these and find something and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. Because sometimes they just come so fast that these are all, a lot of these sketches are listening to music, waiting for my coffee.
Although the initial creative process is one of free association, Ian then follows a very specific design plan.
And it's a lot of the golden ratio.
Can you try to just put that into plain terms for people?
Oh, it's just try not to let the eye get stuck anywhere when it's moving around, and try not to make anything stick out, look like it shouldn't belong. I have certain rules with colors. If I use two shades of blue, I'm going to use, or two shades of a cool color, I'm going to use two shades of a warm color to match it out. A lot of times, if I have three types of green, I'm going to have three warms, three blues. So a lot of times, if I add one to facilitate a purpose in the picture, I have to go back and even it out. I don't know if that's really any kind of artistic formula or just a little bit of OCD creeping in. But it seems to work that way. Certain rules, like no two colors can ever touch, things
really?
Like that. Yeah. I imagine the people that do stained glass see it a lot like I do. Because of like the nice strong lines and how graphic it is.
When asked to describe his style, he puts it very simply.
And I tell people all the time, I'm not a fine artist. I'm a cartoonist who paints, likes to do, like, you know, work with the backgrounds. Honestly, I was doing this when nobody cared or was even seeing it. I wouldn't know what else to do anyways. I'm just trying to make it work for me.
Why do you think you do it?
Oh, man, that's the question, huh? I think it's like my own therapy. Like, this is my diary that you see here on the wall. And then I guess once you get some social acceptance, you're like, oh, okay, well, here's more. And it just, you know, wouldn't know what else to do.
The people or figures in Ian Bodie's world are very distinctive. No faces, and their heads are always tilted.
It helps people apply their own meaning to it. If there's a face there and it looks like it's frowning or smiling, they're going to see that, and they're going to go from there on it. But they're able to, it makes it easier to project whatever they want from, like part of Charlie Brown is so appealing because they're almost as abstract as that, but not quite, because, you know, even still then they had to have faces. But, yeah, it's part of my less is more mantra. And I want them to be emotive, but I guess my twist on it was I never make the head straight. It's always tilted, which I find helps people kind of put more of their own emotion or context to it.
Why do you think that's so?
I think just because the tilt of the head can just give it a quizzical or maybe some wonderment, doubt. Over the years, I've learned the different. It's really hard with such rudimentary shapes to show emotion, but I feel like I'm getting better at it.
One solitary figure that keeps appearing is called the passenger.
Yeah, he's called The Passenger, which I lifted from the Iggy Pop song because his lyrics kind of imply what I was going with the looking at the world through a pane of glass, kind of observing but not participating. You know, I've kind of been that observer. You know, I had two older sisters that were half-sisters, weren't around a lot. And, you know, I spent a lot of time to myself. I grew up around the woods, so I think you can probably see that. This is just me, I guess, you know, telling a story, and I'm just trying not to, like I said, beat people over the head with it. Maybe actually make it a little accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Is The Passenger a metaphor for you or for the viewer?
I think it maybe started out for me, but I think now it's become a thing where it's the viewer. This figure was actually born at a time in my life when I was just kind of like, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? Okay, Computer, listening to that album.
Really?
So, yeah, something about the loneliness and alienation of that album kind of gave him form, or took away form, I'm not sure, whichever way you want to put it.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jim Lang.